Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Mary Magdalene Shaman, Awakening to the Indigenous Christian Soul by Sarah Taft, is called a good book for our current times. After emerging out of the panic and experiencing a number of deaths, disappointments, and grief, Sarah's book contains a healing and hopeful message for anyone going through a challenging time after 2020. It's a story of faith, passion, and transformation. At age 62, Sarah was faced with having to have a liver transplant if she wanted to live. Not knowing if she would get one because they were scarce, her intense prayer work with her community of women and a 12-hour ritualistic shamanic healing in the Arizona desert facilitated a miraculous gift of a new liver and a successful transplant. Today, at age 86, she's lived long enough to welcome 7 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. Her prayers were answered. Mary Magdalene Shaman, Answering to the Indigenous Christian Soul, an inspiring memoir, and author Sarah Taft is with us on This Week in America. Sarah, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, welcome too. Thank you. It's a privilege to be here.
Thank you. It is our privilege and so much to talk about on the program. And the book is getting excellent reviews. I'm looking forward to our conversation. What inspired you to write this book?
Well, I was inspired by the fact that I had received really what I felt was a miracle. And I wanted to pass that along to other people that miracles do happen if you pray enough and if you have intentions that are directed in that way.
You know, it's so true, and sometimes we give up hope. And you were basically facing the worst news you've ever had in your life. It was life-ending news that you'd received. Talk about your story. I did it very briefly, but when you heard the word, and it would be pretty easy at that point just to say, this is inevitable, there's nothing I can do about it. And you didn't do that. You were resilient. You responded. Talk briefly about the story and how you were able to come up with a happy ending through prayer.
Well, the first part of the trauma was the rings in the hospital room that were rattled by the doctor. And he came into my room and he told me after doing a biopsy that I needed a liver transplant. And he said, if you don't have one, you probably won't make it. And so I was stunned. I was really stunned. And so it took me a while to sort of integrate that. And then I started to say, well, now what can I do? I wasn't going to just take it sitting down.
Yes.
I wanted to start to find out what my options for healing might be. So I have had a lot of connection with healers throughout my life. And so I talked to some, and they gave me suggestions. And one said, go to see a shaman. He will help you. So that's what I did in New Mexico.
It's a fascinating story. Mary Magdalene Shaman by Sarah Taft, S-A-R-A, and Taft, T-A-F-T. Book available, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places, the publisher as well, stratton-press.com. And we'll have all the links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Go into some of the main characters, the people that you met that really led you through this process. Who were some of the key people in your story?
Well, the first person who was really helpful was my friend Karen, and she had been a hypnotherapist in her work, and so she knew a lot about the mind, so she was the one who suggested going to a shaman. And then I had a number of friends in the healing arts, and as I talked to different people, they all sort of said the same thing, go and take a chance, you'll see what happens. You won't know what you're doing in it, but something will evolve. So I made my reservation, and I arrived in Arizona shaking.
I can imagine that, yes.
And I met the man who was to be the shaman in a restaurant, and we had a brief talk together, and then he said, just come in the morning about sunrise and we'll proceed. So that was the meeting, and then I drove out there in the early dawn, and the mountains were wonderful and clear, and it was beautiful in the desert. And then finally I arrived at this little tent sort of in the middle of nowhere, and there he was with several of his people who were going to conduct this shamanistic ritual. And I was really frightened because it was all so foreign to me.
Yes.
So, I mean, it wasn't foreign in terms of reading about these things, but I'd never done it.
Actually done it. And I was going to ask you about reading and research. Did you know what to expect? And again, you haven't done it before, so reading is one thing. Actually experiencing it is another. But did you know what was about to occur?
No, I really didn't know. I mean, I knew they were going to shake my ego up and see if they could find out what was going on. But it all worked out, and it was really kind of interesting and quite different than what I expected. The inside of the tent was held up with kind of willows, and it was very primitive, and they had a sort of a Indian rug on the floor. It was dirt floor. And so I met the shaman. We shook hands, and he told me what he was going to do. And so that's where it started. And so do you want to know the details?
Well, yeah, and that's sort of what makes the story so fascinating, what you went through and then the end result. But I want to talk about that night before.
He told me to go to my room, and he said, I want you to draw a picture of your body and show a picture of where it hurts the most. And so I did, and I drew a big dark spot right where my liver is, or was,
yes.
And then it came again. So anyway, I drew a picture, and then I took it to him in the morning, and he looked at it. And so then he was doing some peyote, and so I just kind of laid back on the blanket, and he started doing that, and it kind of put me in a trance. I've never done that kind of thing before.
Oh,
so
yes.
That was really new to me. I was not a person familiar with drugs of any kind. So, but it just kind of softened my perception. And then he started just asking me tons and tons of questions. And we had a dialogue that was intense. And he was like a therapist in a way. You know, he was asking me about my mother and my father and what happened here. And then I would answer him, and then he would challenge it. He'd say, well, you know, they didn't see this and they didn't see that and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And they didn't really know who you were. And I said, well, I probably would agree with that. And so we kept that up for a long time. And then after a while, it got intense, very intense, and they had some musicians who were there, and they were beating their drums and doing a guitar, and so it became a little different. There was different phases of it, so the first part was like an introduction, and so there was a preparation for what happened to me. Yes, and so all the questioning was like breaking down a lot of my very solid perceptions,
yes.
Which is really what the shaman does. So then it got very, very, we took a break, and I was tired, but I kind of took a rest. Then we came back in and we started again. And this time, it was really quite different. They were beating drums and doing things like that with drumsticks and chanting, and some other people came and were helping him out with the music. And I just got into a trance, and finally I just broke out and said, "Oh my God, my lion has been wounded." And I was disconsolate. I couldn't be consoled. I was weeping and weeping. And then Mary Magdalene and the Virgin Mary caught me in this. I was in a trance. They caught me in their arms, and they rocked me and rocked me and rocked me, and I quieted down. And that was the beginning of the change. And then they had another shaman who came from down in Mexico, and it was a woman shaman, and she came in and she took an egg and she ran it up and down my body, and she was like doing a diagnosis of what was going on. So she finally made her diagnosis, and she ran it up and down my body, up and down my body, and she kept whispering in my ear, "You're just a little child, you're just a little child. You will be fine, you will be fine. You've been wounded." And so that was very healing. It was wonderful. And then I was put on my back again, and the shaman spoke to me, and he was very, very firm and very clear, and he spoke to me about my inner authority and my right to be myself, because I don't think I had ever really been myself, ever. I was always
interesting
doing things that other people wanted me to
yes.
do.
Yes.
So it was really, it was a breakthrough, and he was very firm about it. He said, "You will receive a liver, it will come, and when you receive it, you will have a new voice, and you will be able to say what you need to say to whomever you have to say it to." And that was really the conclusion of the entire experience. It lasted for probably 8 hours or so. I don't know. It was dark when I left.
Yes.
But it was so rattling and emotional and so completely devastating in one way to my ego.
Well, yes.
And I just got, like, split apart.
Well, it sounds like when you ended, you had to be hopeful at that point. And if you're just joining us on the program, Sarah Taft is our guest. We're talking about her book, Mary Magdalene Shaman, Awakening to the Indigenous Christian Soul, book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, usual places, stratton-press.com as well, the publisher of the book. How did you feel when it was over? Because they left you with encouragement that you were going to get the liver and that you were going to be a new person. What you discovered about yourself when you were going through this ritual, you were going to be able to change. How did you feel when it was over? Were you hopeful for a new liver at that point?
At first, I didn't know what to make of it all. I heard the words. They hadn't truly penetrated. You know, it took some time for that to really sink in. So I got in my car and I drove back to the hotel, and I was exhausted. I was so tired because it had been so intense all day.
Yes.
So then when I returned home, my friend Karen called me, and she told me she knew when I was going to do this. She said she saw me above the earth in her imagination. She said, "I just saw you there, and you were fine. You were above the earth in kind of a parallel position with the earth, and you were healed." And so anyway, then the days that followed, it just started to happen. And quietly, you know, I was getting ready to really receive a liver, because there was such a shortage of livers. I mean, I was very lucky to get one. And if I hadn't gotten one when I did, I probably would not be here now. So anyway, this was my experience in the shaman's tent, but it changed my whole life. I mean, I can't tell you. It's like it was 180-degree change. nothing in my early life would indicate that I would be doing something like this.
Well, come out a new person. They talked about there would basically be a new Sarah when at the conclusion. Did you change? Could you tell that, I'm sort of a new man?
What happened, basically, I saw how fear had and was such a prominent part of my life.
Yes.
Like I was a good girl because I was fearful of what would happen to me if I didn't follow the rules. So this was an experience where I didn't follow any rules, and it it broke me open. And so I had a freedom that I never felt before. And the sense of how that fear had controlled me all of my life was amazing to me. I was shocked. I thought I was free, but I wasn't. There were so many things that were holding me back from being who I am. So then slowly, as I prepared for expecting a liver and receiving a liver, and then when the time came for the liver to happen, my astrologer was staying with me. He was a friend of mine. He had been my mentor, and he jumped in the car and took me to the hospital, and they said, "We think we have one for you." And I went down there, and it happened. I was just amazed. I got a liver, and I got a good one. Because when I came out of the emergency room, recovery room.
Yes.
The man that brought me out, his name was, I don't know what his name was. No, I do, man. His name was Omar. And he said, "You got a good one," because the liver didn't bleed a lot. And so I was really happy about that. And then as I came out of the whole thing and just slowly, I realized how I was different, and I was walking around in kind of grace because I had been so fearful that I would not get one and that I would pass away.
What a remarkable story, and life is good, and you've got the great-grandchildren, and it seems like everything is going well. You found out exactly who you are. It was sort of freeing from that aspect. A few minutes left. The book, by the way, Mary Magdalene Shaman by Sarah Taft, and all this information is on our website. Some people are probably going, "I've heard of a shaman before, but exactly what is that? What is a shaman?"
Okay, a shaman is a person who is trained to be very comfortable with the invisible world. I mean, we have the visible world around us, but there's the invisible world that is behind everything. And so they take practice runs and go into the invisible realm and pick up information and things that the people on this side of that would not be able to see. So they retrieve the soul. That's really what it was like. It was being, my soul was being retrieved. It was under a lot of ideas, thoughts, concepts that I had been taught growing up.
Yes.
And the shaman sort of removed those, and then I was really open to receive the spirit. I was open to experience and receive a liver. I mean, he made it possible for me to actually receive it, because a lot of times people pray for things, but they're not open to receiving things. But the shaman made it possible for me to open and receive that.
What a remarkable and amazing story, and it's all in Sarah's book, Mary Magdalene Shaman. You can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. A few minutes left in the program. When you decided to write this book and went back and relived the experiences, what you were going through, what you faced, and how that turned around during this visit to the shaman, what was that experience like, and what maybe did you learn about yourself during the whole writing process of the book?
Well, I was working with a therapist, and so they were encouraging me to write. And they said, now, this is your trial. I said,
yes.
Another one? I said, you need to tell the whole story. The whole story. And I said, everything? And they said, yes. And so that was my trial, to tell the world what I had done or what I hadn't done and how I suffered. And so it was like telling the truth, you know.
Well, yes, and so, it's received excellent reviews because of that. One story, beautiful. One review, beautiful story, beautiful art. Talk about the art that you use.
Well, that all started, that really opened up my artist. I didn't realize I was as good at art as I found out.
Yes.
So I had about, I painted pictures of Mary Magdalene. It was my way of integrating her into my life. And I really realized that she is the connecting link to Jesus. And I had never, of course, understood that sort of thing, but she was like a catalyst, because I loved her so much, and I felt the love from her, and she was very personal with me, and that relationship led me to the feeling that Christ was right with me too. So it was such a strange thing, because none of this is within the Christian religion.
Right.
Although Jesus would be considered a shaman,
you know,
by many.
There are so many layers, and I want to wrap up here by just sort of getting your impression in writing the book. What's your hope? What do you hope the average reader takes away? I say that because some people are going through an organ transplant, not sure how to handle it. You address that as well. But at age 62, most people would go, I am who I am. And you found out that, no, you don't have to be for the rest of your life. And
No, I was not who I am.
Well, yeah. And you, well, yeah, exactly.
I found out I was not who I am.
You
I
were who
I
you
was,
thought you
I
were.
Knew.
Yeah, yeah. And yet you had an open mind. You're spending, you know, a couple of decades with the new Sarah and enjoying that and the life that holds for everybody. What's the big, as I mentioned, there are so many messages on several levels here. What do you hope people take away from reading Mary Magdalene Shaman?
It's never too late to find out who you really are. It is never too late. I don't know. No, any problem that you're facing is an opportunity to overcome the problem and find out that you have many more spiritual resources in you than you ever imagined. And that's what I came away with. I was blessed, and the blessings that I received were so big that I owe my life to the whole experience.
And sharing all of it.
And that's why I shared it with other people, that they too would have the courage and the hope to face their challenges and find out how to get well or how to overcome adversity.
What's it like for you? I'm going to take another minute here in asking you, because you've written this book, you've laid it all out there, you've exposed what you went through, the good and the bad. People are reading it, people you don't know, probably will never know, and you're changing their lives by telling your story. How satisfying is that for you?
Well, to me, that's the gift from God.
Yes.
I mean, really, the whole thing came from God, and it's made me very clear on that when you don't have God in your life, you're working at 4 or 3 or 2 or whatever, you're not very strong.
Exactly, and that's a great way to end the interview, because that's another message, one of so many that you get in reading Mary Magdalene Shaman. The book is by Sarah Taft, and that's Sarah Taft. Book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places, the publisher stratton-press.com. We'll have all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Sarah, a pleasure having you on the program to share your story. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It has been our pleasure. It's Mary Magdalene Shaman, the name of the book, Awakening to the Indigenous Christian Soul by Sarah Taft. Information at Amazon, Stratton-Press.com, all the usual places. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.